When I hear the words "on the river," they conjure up all sorts of memories for me. I've spent a lot of time paddling on actual rivers, and I've spent a lot of time listening to volunteers play great music on the river on Northern Community Radio. Back in late September, on the day that fall weather pushed the last of summer out of the way, I got one of these volunteers out in a canoe for a paddle and a conversation. Dan Gannon describes himself as someone who is impassioned by passions. Around Bemidji, where he lives and works, you may see Dan in a classroom working with kids or on a soccer field coaching a team in a sport that he loves. You might have heard him speak against racism at a local TEDx event held this fall. Today on Paddle Minnesota meets On the River, we'll get to hear about another of Dan's passions, music. Both artists and styles that he loves, and those he doesn't love so much.
On Northern Community Radio, you're known as DJ Dang. You're known for sort of a edgy, high-energy delivery. I'm wondering, where does the DJ Dang on-air persona come from?
It's my name, right? Dan G. My last name is Gannon, so it's Dan G. is Dang. You know, it's an exclamation that you say. People say, like, "Oh, dang," or "dang it," and it can be good and bad depending on how you use it. And initially I used that name when I was doing solo acoustic performances in Minneapolis, and I would do kind of an acoustic punk style holler and shouting and thrashing away on an acoustic guitar. And so I needed a name, and I did the dang thing. And the high energy thing is just my passion for music. It's impossible for me to not try and communicate that excitement.
So that's you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
I know that you have an interest in punk music, or you did at one time anyway. Maybe that was the younger Dan Gannon. What got you interested in that scene, in that music?
Well, to clarify, the old Dan Gannon still loves punk rock very much. When I was a teenager, we lived in suburban Chicago, and I got a job at a Showbiz Pizza place, and a coworker there, but still my oldest and longest friend, he was really into music, and he asked me if I had heard of this band or that band, and I'd never heard of any of the bands he was talking about. And he made me a mixtape, and half of it was Chicago punk rock bands, and the other half was bands like the Cramps, and none of which I'd heard of ever. So the same guy, Jim Dvorak, brought me to my first punk show, and it was an all-ages show at a club called Tuts in the city. I saw Naked Ray Gun. That was the very first punk rock band I ever saw. And after the first song, the kids grabbed the microphone and sang the next song. And the singer let them do that. And I just had never seen or conceived of such a thing where the audience becomes part of the show. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was just so incredible. And so I think that was another draw for me, was how punk rock totally broke down barriers between audience and band. And that made sense to me. And made me feel like I was part of something, not just an observer, but I was a participant. I just wanted more and more and more and more, and still feel that way to this day.
When I listen to your shows, I can usually count on hearing some pretty heavily urban-influenced music. Where does that come from?
It comes from my dad. He was not a music fanatic, but he was a music lover. And I remember as I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and my first sort of music memory was hearing Booker T and the MGs played at my house, at our house. My dad put it on the record player, and I remember hearing Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs. And at that moment, I thought it was beautiful music, and I still love that band and that style of music.
You told me a story, your near brush with McKinley Morganfield.
That was incredible. I played high school basketball, and our team was horrible. We were atrocious. We always played this school from another suburb called Westmont. You know, they would come play us at our school, and we'd go play them in Westmont. And I don't think I noticed it right away, but probably maybe the second time we played them at Westmont, they had one African-American player, and his name was Joe Morganfield. And he's pretty good basketball player, and I often ended up having to guard him. And at that time, I was not familiar with Chicago blues. There was this gentleman sitting up in the stands, completely decked out in like a red suit jacket and some kind of bowler kind of hat. Just colorful, but really put together African-American man. I think it was a teammate, said, "Oh, that's Muddy Waters." And I'm like, "Muddy Waters? Isn't that a famous blues guy?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Why is he here?" And they said, "Well, his real name is Morganfield, and that's Joe Morganfield's dad." Even though I was not into Muddy Waters music at that time, I knew that that was a pretty cool thing to, you know, I could say that Muddy Waters watched me play basketball. Much to his sorrow, I'm sure. Wasn't that a man? Yeah! To be honest with you, Jim, it's still not a musical style that I really get into very much. My friend took me to the Chicago Blues Festival one year. It was probably 1981, maybe. And I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan opened up for Buddy Guy and Junior Wells. And Stevie Ray Vaughan was off the chain. I mean, he was just as grimy and slimy as a human can be, like no shirt. He probably weighed 90 pounds. He literally was throwing his guitar on the stage and kicking it, and it was amazing. It was like one of the punkest things I've ever seen for that style of music.
That's Dan Gannon, and this is Paddle Minnesota meets On the River on Northern Community Radio.
I went back to some of your playlists, and I'm just going to throw out some names that I plucked from your playlists. And
all
just
right.
Give me a quick, you know, a few sentence sort of redux of that artist in your mind. John Prine.
Are you trying to turn the listeners of Northern Community Radio against me? Because I've already said I don't like the blues, and now I'm gonna utter some more sacrilege here. I am not a fan of John Prine. The song Angel from Montgomery, it doesn't really do anything for me, but I find his new record to be absolutely gripping. For like an old guy just putting out old guy sounds, and yeah, I can't stop listening to his new record.
Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home.
Wallace Bird.
Yes, yes. Until I moved up here, I was not into folk music at all. I'm like, that's for hippies. Punk rockers are not hippies. I never liked Bob Dylan, just to continue my sacrilege rant that I've been on in this interview, until I moved up here. And there was something about hearing it on the radio here and time and place, and I don't know. There was something, all of a sudden I got Dylan. It took me 25 years, you know? And now I get it, and I love him. But I'd never gone to the Winnipeg Folk Festival. I went 4 years ago and had a fantastic time. And then this past summer, on a whim, like just a few days before the Folk Fest, I decided to go, researched all the artists that were playing, and Wallace Bird was one of them, and I'd never heard of her. She's from Ireland. She's an acoustic folk musician, but a fireball, like kind of hyper-rhythmic playing style on the guitar. Her music was just as vibrant as music can be, and celebratory, and it can make you like cry while you're smiling.
About Richard Thompson, where does he fit in with you?
Yeah, Jim, you're picking on me here, man. I'm gonna name another revered artist that I don't really like. I like Tear-Stained Letter is a great song. And we have probably 5 or 6 Richard Thompson CDs at the KBXC studios, and none of them have Tear-Stained Letter on it. And so I've gone through them thinking, what am I missing? What, he's a great guitar player, great singer. And I listen to the songs, and maybe I need to listen. Sometimes, you know, you have to listen to an artist 3, 4, 5 times before you get it. Certainly with Dylan, I had to do that.
If you had to choose 5 albums to take to a desert island,
oh, wow.
And this is a desert island with a really good sound system.
Better be.
What would they be?
Probably London Calling by The Clash. The Pogues. Probably Rum Sodomy and The Lash. Aretha Franklin's Spirit in the Dark.
Getting the spirit in the dark.
Almost as much for the album cover photo of her as the music also contained in there.
In the dark.
Marcus Garvey by Burning Spear. And I'd probably have to go with a Chicago punk band, probably Naked Ray Gun's Throb Throb record. Jim, you asked me this question tomorrow, I'm going to have five different records.
Our conversation rambled through more topics than just music on that blustery day. As our paddle ended, I wondered what lay ahead for Dan.
So I met this guy in Bemidji here a couple of years ago. At that time, he was 90 years old. He started telling me about his five-year plan. What about you? Where do you think you're going to be in 5 years?
That's a hard question, and I of course, don't tend to think that way. I'm a little bit more of a day-by-day person. That's an easier way for me to find joy in life, I think, is to just wake up and be like, today's the day, and I got to get out in the world and find the beauty in my life and in where I live. So it allows me the sort of pleasant surprises of life, of like, oh my gosh, this is happening now. I never would have guessed. I'm just going to keep doing the things I do, you know, is work with kids. Hopefully I'll be able to continue coaching soccer. That's something I have a real passion for, and grow my garden in the summer and cross-country ski in the winter. And, you know, if I can do those things, my life is good. And if I'm still doing that 5 years from now, I'll be double thumbs up and a smile on my face.